Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. I'm here with Hannah, my lovely daughter. Hannah, thank you for joining us again.
Of course. Always good to be here.
And we are in Luke chapter 8 today. We were talking just a bit before the podcast about we're making some time. The last couple episodes, we've been able to actually cover a swath of verses. Not that we're trying to hurry through this thing, but we are moving. So here we are in Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to attempt today to get through a 15-verse section. And in order to do that, we're just going to have to dive right in. And I want you to listen carefully. The Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So, Hannah, we already read in the book of Luke how that Jesus went throughout all Galilee one time. And so now we're reading that he goes through all of Galilee a second time, to all the cities, all the villages. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about what happened in all these cities and villages, but there were many of them. And many of them were small little villages like Nazareth itself, of just a couple hundred people. And sometimes in ministry, you think through big events and big services and big revivals and big conferences. But the ministry of Jesus wasn't like that. The ministry of Jesus was a ministry to common people in little out-of-the-way synagogues, sometimes preaching to a couple dozen people. And that helps me to understand the heart of the Lord Jesus.
Right. He was never about presentation or attention. I mean, the way he was born, even he could have come
as a king,
literally as a king, but he came in a little stable with, you know, not much of an audience to poor people. So it was never about attention, never about presentation, but about people.
Yeah, the humility amazes me. And if Jesus were here today on planet Earth, we'd probably miss him. Because we'd be looking for the Colosseum preacher. We'd be looking for the television personality. And we'd probably find him at the rescue mission. We'd probably find him in the nursing home preaching the afternoon service.
Right.
So it's just, it's a perspective check.
Perspective, yeah.
So verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, so that the CFO of the country's wife was a follower of Jesus, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. So here's the way by which Jesus' ministry was financed. God had just raised up people that had some financial means that were able to help Jesus and the disciples. I mean, 13 men traveling, somebody's got to pay for lodging and food and necessities. And the Bible says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And that sets up really today's teaching here, because we're going to talk about this parable that he spoke. But just for a moment, Hannah, let's think about this, the entourage of the Lord. So when you think about the Lord traveling in Israel, you do picture him, at least I do, you do picture him with the disciples, don't you?
Yeah, I always do. Yep.
But do you picture Jesus traveling and then some of these random people like some of these women and others that are there just helping to pay the bills?
No, I very often forget that. Like you said, I usually just picture Jesus and the 12 disciples traveling together.
And isn't it interesting that the Bible also says, hey, Mary's following him, and this is the one that was healed of the seven devils. In other words, here's a person whose life had been radically changed. And I suppose you could say that about every single person. People that follow Jesus are people whose lives have been radically changed. So it almost speaks to the authenticity of their experience with him. And I guess the opposite question might also be true. And that is, if we're not following Jesus, could it be that we've not been radically changed? Could it be that the relationship, the initiation of that relationship was not genuine? Again, I'm not here to question someone's salvation, but it's something that we ought to at least examine in our own lives. So of all this ministry and all this traveling, Luke zeroes it in onto this message, this parable that Jesus teaches. And what's interesting to me, Hannah, is that in the parallel passage, so if you look at these parables, for instance, in Matthew chapter 13, you'll find that this parable is one of several parables that Jesus used. And yet, this was the one that got the most attention. And again, now in Luke's chronology, in Luke's collation of the events of the life of Christ, he zeroes in on this parable too. So this was an important teaching, an important parable in the ministry of Jesus. Let's see if we can figure out why. Okay, so look at it, my friends, Luke chapter 8, verse 5. Here's the parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. Wayside would be the ground next to the field on which one would walk. So it would be hard pressed, like a path, the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. What a statement. He cried. So this is a word of emphasis, a word of passion. He cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, can you understand this? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So when we think about a sower going forth to sow, that would be something that every audience member of Jesus would have been able to picture. So for you, Hannah, as a 21st century Christian, you know, you probably don't walk by people that are sowing too often.
No.
not even sowing like in the sense of sewing mittens or socks.
No.
I mean, it's just not something that we see every day. But to the first century listener, this would have been something that many of them would see often in an agricultural society. And not only that, many of them would have participated in sowing. So when Jesus talked about sowing the seed, they understood exactly what this meant.
It's very relatable, yeah.
Very relatable. So we have four different types of soil. Some have said that this parable could be rightly called the parable of the soil, not just the seed. The seed never changes. So if I have seed in my bag and I throw that seed, the seed doesn't change. So what's the difference in which seed grows and which seed doesn't grow?
Where you're placing the seed,
right?
The environment and
the physical soil on which that seed falls. So that's the point. The point is the seed falls on different types of ground. So the four types are: number one, the wayside; number two, the stony ground; number three, the thorny ground; and then number four, the good ground. So four types of soil. So what does the soil represent? Now, you and I know because we've read our Bible and we've been through this parable before, but if you were a first century listener, you might not that might not connect with you. So watch what the disciples say in verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And I see in that a great comfort, Hannah, because have you ever read your Bible and said, I wonder what this means?
Very often.
Sure. Sure. And I think, listeners, if you're honest with yourself, you'd say, yeah, that happens to me. I'll tell you this, that happens to me every time I read a large portion of the Bible. Every time. And I've been studying the Bible for decades. And yet, sometimes I'm asking that question, you know, what might this parable be? But I want you to think about two things. First of all, Hannah, to whom did the disciples ask that question?
Jesus.
And that's the point, my friends. You know, if you have questions about truth, that they had heard the truth, they just didn't totally understand it, but they came to Jesus. One of the great laws of hermeneutics is simply this, the science of Bible study is simply this, ask the Lord. Lord, help me to understand this. It is the Holy Spirit of God that illuminates truth to us. The Lord is always honored when we come to him with an open heart to say, Lord, I want to know what this means. So what does the Lord do? He provides further clarification. And watch the clarification that Jesus provides for the parable of the sower. Verse 10, and he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. So here it is. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience or with perseverance. So there's the teaching. So if I were to say, Hannah, to you, what does the seed represent?
Us.
Well, the word of God.
Sorry.
So, yeah, you're ahead of me.
Yes.
You anticipated my next question,
yes.
Which is, well, what is the soil?
Us.
Us, and specifically our heart, our reception of that. So our reception of the word of God. So the Bible says that the wayside seed doesn't germinate at all. The birds look at that as, wow, that's easy food. And the bird represents the devil. So what is the devil's chief job as it relates to the word of God?
To separate us from God.
And that's the exact word I would have used. To separate us from the word of God. There's nothing the devil would like any more than for us not to understand the Bible, for us to dismiss the Bible, for us to ignore the Bible. Then the Bible says the stony ground, those are people that, boy, they receive the word of God, but there's no root in themselves. The Bible says when tribulation comes or persecution comes, they change their direction. They don't stay with it. And how many times have we seen that in church? We've seen people that, they get saved. They receive the word of God. They believe the Bible. But the trials of life and the persecutions that come because of what it means to be follower of Jesus causes them to change their direction. So there's no fruit in their life. And then the Bible says, here are they that receive the word of God among thorns. So the seed grows, the soil is good. You're seeing evidences of growth, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, it's almost like, you know, I want to be in church and I want to serve God and I want to grow, but I also want the world and I also want to fulfill my temptations and they kind of want both sides. But when good plants grow up among weeds, the weeds and thorns overtake the good plant and it dies. And how often have we seen that double-mindedness or the cares of this world that steal from us what God wants to do in us? And then, of course, finally, the good ground, which is the cultivated ground. So as a believer, what is important in my life is for me to have a cultivated heart, a heart that's free of distractions and has been weeded and the stones have been removed and the word of God can have free course in my life. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul prayed? Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul said, you know, we want the word of God to have free course. You're praying that God would work in people's hearts and lives. Boy, there's so much to say. I'm already out of time. I can't believe it. And I've done all the talking, Hannah. I'm so sorry. Okay. But I'm passionate about this. I'll say one last thing and we'll go one minute over. And that is, isn't it interesting that in this parable, you see the enemies of the Christian? The world, the flesh, and the devil. In this case, the devil, the flesh, and the world. God wants us to succeed. His word is what changes our life. But the enemies of every believer, the devil who wants to separate me from the word of God, my own flesh that doesn't want it hard, that doesn't want persecution. I want to obey you, Lord, but I want everything to be easy. And then the world that says, well, there's a better alternative and you can have it both ways. But what a great encapsulating parable about the Christian life. And I think that's why it's given so much attention throughout the ministry of Jesus. I know there's a lot more there, my friends, that we could say, and I probably did a poor job encapsulating that, but food for thought and a great passage for our consideration. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it so much. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.